story.
Quest Gaming Network presents Adrenaline Esports, your source for all things esports and action-based gaming.
You are welcome!
Hi everybody, welcome back to Adrenaline Esports!
Holy nutballs! What happened to your Christian face?
Thank you, Jack, I appreciate that. I am Joe the Widget Wilson, and this is episode number 3. I'm your lead host, and I am joined, as always, by my number 2, make it so number 2, Aaron Mac Curry.
Hey Joe, guess what today is?
Today is Wednesday.
Hump day!
Oh jeez, not that.
I'm really excited. For some reason, I got an itch to get my aviation license, so we'll see how that goes.
Right? Man, we got a show for you guys tonight. We'll get into that in a second. But we are joined, as always, by Mr. Will Altegg.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. I think there's a new wow on the horizon. So listen up, everybody, and hello.
And we have a guest on with us tonight. He is the community director for Quest Gaming Network. And the butcher of teammates' planes, Mr. John Supa.
I'm sorry, what was that? I couldn't hear you over the engine.
We got a very, very full show tonight. We have a special interview with Margaret Crom from SOE, which we're talking all about PlanetSide 2. If you guys are into that amazing MMO FPS, this is an interview for you. If you ever thought about it, listen in. You're going to love it. We had a great time. We recorded with her on Monday night, because she has her own show she does on Wednesday nights. And we are going to get her back on to record with us one night for the full show, just to chat with us all about action gaming. She is awesome, and we look forward to having her on at that time. We'll get that interview in just a little bit. We have a full review, let's call this a open beta review, of World of Warplanes. And man, do we have a lot to talk about on that end, trust me. But first, we have some sponsors, Aaron.
Yes, today we are sponsored by Tweaked Audio, providers of, you know, basically the number one earbuds you can get. I have a pair. I got them last week. They are amazing. I mean, the sound quality is just brilliant, and I have yet to break them. So they're already better than every other earbuds I've bought. They have a lifetime warranty, so if I ever manage to somehow break them, I'll get a new pair for free, and with our code Off the Record, you can get 30% off your order anywhere because they have free worldwide shipping. And you can do all this at tweakedaudio.com. I'm serious, guys. You need to check them out.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Continia, a fantasy adventure novel written by me.
That's awesome.
My book is officially coming out November 14th. And it will be on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and every other book place you can go to. It will not be physically in stores yet, but you can go to Barnes & Noble or your favorite book retailer and ask for Continia, and they will order it for you. Please do so. That way they'll carry it in their stores.
Awesome.
Pre-orders will be available November 1st. You can check out Loris Publishing. Look it up in Google. I don't have the exact address right now. And they will have all the information regarding where to pre-order the book. I'll let you guys know as soon as I find out. I'm very excited. We are on the final steps of the book. It is getting print ready. The layout's being done, and it's good to go. It'll be in your hands soon, November 14th. All right.
I'm super excited for that. I really want a physical copy of that book, so I'm really glad to hear the news, dude. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a year ago, literally a year ago, I signed the contract after 10 years of trying to get it published.
Wow.
Hard work pays off.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right?
It's a great accomplishment.
Thank you. I'm scared and looking very forward to it. All right. If it does well, I mean, my career's set, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. So we got a lot to get into. And the first thing we're going to get into before we get into our interview with Margaret, we're going to talk about what's around the league. More than 13,000 fans attended the League of Legends World Championships at the Staples Center in Los Angeles on Friday. The winners, a Korean team, SK Telecom T1, swept the series 3-0, claiming the $1 million prize. Damn. Yikes.
That's a lot. That is a huge prize.
Yeah. That's like golf and tennis money right there.
What?
Pretty close anyway. You know, like when you win a PGA tournament, you get like $1 million first prize.
Oh, esports is like, if you've heard our shows, our last two episodes, it's a climbing industry. I mean, it's explosive. Absolutely explosive. I predict in the next year or two, it's going to be considered an official sport.
Yeah, but it's like crazy money for esports.
Yeah.
And it looks like we were a little bit overestimating how many people fit in the Staples Center last week when we said it was sold out. But
I was thinking about regular like football stadiums. I was wrong.
Yeah, same here.
But 13,000.
Awesome, 13,000 people.
And something like, what was it, 4 or 5 million tuned in to watch it?
Yeah, I couldn't get a direct number. They said like countless people have watched it online. Millions. So it was a lot.
Twitter was ablaze from celebrities, from everybody watching this tournament. It was incredible. I'm not that big in League of Legends myself, but man, it's just, I love seeing this thing. I have been a quote-unquote professional gamer all my life, and seeing it becoming an official sport. I competed in tournaments in the past, but yeah, I won $100 here, $100 there. Big deal. Now, why couldn't this become like this big when I was in my 20s?
Joe wants $1 million prize.
Now I'm an old fart. My reflexes are slowing down.
That's
not
true.
Really.
Past our prime.
I love watching the hype and the crowds, like watching the League of Legends tournaments on Twitch and seeing how crazy everyone gets.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I personally don't get the whole MOBA scene, but I know it's huge, and I plan on getting more into it later. Right now, I'm kind of hooked on a game right now. Two of them. All right. What's next on our list, Aaron?
Well, next on our list is Infinity Ward's Mark Rubin has explained why they don't want to make too many drastic changes to Call of Duty. Put simply, Infinity Ward believes that due to Call of Duty's esports presence, they don't want to play with the core format too much, as it would make things awkward for competitive players. Just, you know, something that's too different would make it unwieldy.
I like this, actually. I like this a lot.
And I know that some people complain that, hey, this Call of Duty is just a, you know, it's the same exact game as the last one. But, I mean, when you're in an esports, how much does football change, you know? Like, I know there's some rule change, and there is some stuff that's changed in these games, too. But if you mess with the core format of it, it's not even the same game.
And then look at the real sports leagues and how long it takes for a rule to change to even go into effect. Like with baseball, them reviewing video, how long did that take for that to start happening? So when you do this with games, I think it's the right thing to do, because you don't want to change what these people are practicing on all of a sudden on them and have them have to change up their strategies and stuff.
I've been watching some Ghost multiplayer play. It's very much Call of Duty, but the graphics and the sounds are all a lot more realistic, and it has that awesome play that people love about Call of Duty. It's fast action gameplay, in your face, with strategy. It looks great, and I can't wait to get my hands on it next month.
Oh, yeah, me either, dude. I'm going to be just... like, I know I say I'm addicted to World of Warplanes right now, but you probably won't get me away from this game for more than a couple hours. I might even take a couple days off work, so hopefully nobody I work with is listening.
There's let's get into this really quick. Next month is like one of the biggest months in gaming history. It really is. We have the release of two new systems coming out, two new game systems that are... What makes it such a landmark is that they are actually going towards the PC architecture and groundwork. That makes ports and like online play more seamless between different platforms, which is awesome. It's amazing.
Do you think that'll happen? Like cross-platform online multiplayer?
It will eventually. Absolutely. Once things get a little bit more streamlined with how they allow patches and such to go through. Like we talked in our interview with Margaret coming up, she kind of talks about how, well, I'm not going to spoil too much, but yeah, I'll forget that. Anyway, and also we have Black Flag coming out for Assassin's Creed 4, which I'm completely ecstatic about. Then we have Call of Duty Ghosts, and then all the launch titles that are coming out for all the systems.
Yeah, there's some great ones coming out. I mean, you know, we've already talked about the two that I pre-ordered with Call of Duty Ghost and Assassin's Creed 4. I really can't wait for these titles. They're going to be awesome just to play. So I did the day one pre-order for the Xbox One. Sorry, everybody's on the PlayStation side. I didn't have the money to do a double pre-order, but I wish I did. And I'm going to try and convince my kids to save up for it because I think that'd be a good thing.
Well, I can't
make the kids buy it.
I can't wait to hear about Titanfall from you, Will.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be one that I'll pick up quickly.
Yeah, and it's going to be the next gen systems are going to be very much, very much conducive to esports. With the power they have and the amount that you can put into it, you're going to start seeing a lot more cross platform, to where even PC gaming will be more into esports than what it is currently. Most esports are played through consoles, especially first person shooters and fighters. Things like the MOBAs, which are only on PC, are played through PC. So we're going to see a lot more cross in it.
Yeah, and I think the Steam Box, whenever that actually launches, will also bring more PC players onto the eSport, you know, and kind of bring it together even more.
You know, the main reason that eSports isn't as popular on PC is because of the cost of a good gaming PC.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty up there.
What I'm interested in seeing with the next generation in consoles is really what the broadcast options are to the developers. Like, if you take SOE, they do a great job with that broadcast system, and I know they've given it over to members of the community like ReachCast and stuff like that, so they could record and get in-game and get live footage. And I wonder if these Twitch innovations and stuff will help bring that to Xbox and PlayStation and allow these tournaments to tap in for better broadcasts and more interactive systems.
The PlayStation 4 is my vote for the best system to come out. There's everything you look at, it's across the board, hands down, bar none, above the Xbox One. And that's the system that I'm going to buy eventually when I can afford it. But I got to have my Xbox One. For one, it's just for the little exclusives. That's all I really care about on that end. And even then, it's very far and few between. The only game I really, really care about is Killer Instinct. So I'm kind of debating, like, is Killer Instinct going to be worth, you know, $500 to play? And right now, it's just not in my wallet.
I know I'll be getting the Xbox One just because of, you know, the exclusives and...
The thing is, though, Xbox, you know, like, always had very weak exclusives and very few.
I wouldn't say Halo's a weak exclusive.
Oh, I would.
Well, that's like me saying, like, I don't know, like...
The thing is, Bungie's no
Final
longer...
Final Fantasy.
Bungie's no longer an exclusive with Xbox, though.
What?
They're not.
What isn't?
Bungie.
Bungie isn't, but Bungie doesn't develop Halo. 343 Studios develops Halo.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. Yeah.
I can care less about Halo, and that's not going to be in my card, so... The exclusives for the PlayStation
Destiny,
for me,
though,
have
what about
always
Destiny?
Been better.
That's going to be a fun game.
That's multi-platform.
That is going to be awesome.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not saying that's... I'm not saying... I'm just saying, in general, that's going to be a fun game.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for that one. That was going to be great.
And like you were saying, with the Twitch, for the consoles, I know that I'll probably be streaming a lot more once I get that, because I think that's just really cool.
And PlayStation makes it a streamless interface.
Yeah, the one thing that it may stop me from doing is buying all the titles on multiple platforms. Like right now, you know, I need to get it on PC if I want to stream. I need to get it on, you know, Xbox if I want to play with all my Xbox friends, or PlayStation with all my PlayStation friends. So depending upon what group of friends want to play a game, I may have to buy it twice or three times.
I've done that.
Everybody.
I'm a through-and-through PC gamer. There's no doubt about it, because I don't care, you know, how great systems are that come out. They're never going to be able to surpass what a PC can do.
Steam says.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. So, any other last comments on that before we move on to our interview?
Let's go with the interview.
Yeah. Right. I'm excited to hear the interview because I wasn't able to hear it last time because my computer kept going down on me, so I'm really excited for it.
Here we go. This is our interview with Margaret Crom from SOE that we recorded Monday night. All right, here we are with Margaret Crom. She is also known as Perfect Storm. She is the community relations representative for SOE.
Hello. I didn't know if I was supposed to say hello.
Yeah, go, by all means. We want to thank you very much for joining us tonight and talking a little bit of PlanetSide 2 with us.
Yeah, no problem.
It's been, that game is blossoming more and more. And I was such a fanboy of it since I found out it was coming out. Still am. Even though I haven't played as much as I like the last few months. Yeah. Still is a phenomenal game. And you were a designer before you went into community relations, correct?
Correct. I was a game designer for 5.5 years and just recently switched over to community. And I've been working with the marketing and community team for SOE on PlanetSide 2 for the past 7 months now. So it's been interesting. It's different.
Yeah, I bet. Like you were saying earlier when we were talking, it's kind of like two sides of the coin.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of amazing though, because I've been in pretty much every role at SOE. So I've kind of gotten to see how everything works and gotten a better idea of how development works in general. I mean, I've even gotten to go on some business development trips, and it's just been a good experience all around.
Nice. So what were your design duties on PlanetSide 2? What did you design?
So I primarily worked on the infantry design. So it was infantry classes, weapons, anything that you would ever use as an infantry. And that's post, it's about before February, pretty much helped implement everything that you could use as an infantry. Before I started doing that, I originally was on the team as a writer, and I started helping with the overarching lore. And then we started hiring a new writer who then took over, and he basically wrote like the little stories that you've seen in the backgrounds and the news articles for PlanetSide 2.
Oh, cool.
But I wrote like the overall lore to that, so that was kind of cool. And he kind of took some of the characters and changed them up a bit and changed the story a bit here and there. But it was kind of cool seeing that come to life. And then Matt Higby switched me over to a systems design, and I started designing some things for the systems design team, and he was like, you know, you should be a systems designer. And so I kind of switched over to that for a little bit and worked on various infantry systems, and that's kind of how all that came together.
So you're the one I can thank for making the venue so awesome.
I don't know about that, but I was more like a minion. So, you know, I had a boss and he was like, hey, write this.
Well, you had a hand in it.
Yeah, I definitely implemented lots of things, whether it was fully my design or not, though that's not always the case.
That's awesome. So you really have had, like, pretty much did your hand in almost everything in PlanetSide 2.
Not everything, but yeah, I didn't get to do much level design. I helped a little bit at the beginning when we were trying to come up with ideas, but they ended up going a different route with the way that they did all their levels. And, you know, it's been cool. It's different.
Awesome. So, Aaron, Will, you guys have some questions for Margaret? But before I make them ask any questions, I'm going to clear this up in the air really quick. What are your current responsibilities with SOE?
So right now I'm acting as a community manager for PlanetSide 2 at SOE. And what that entails is many, many things. Sometimes I'm doing QA, so I'm finding bugs. Or if, you know, they're having trouble reproducing bugs, I'm going to the community looking for people who have experienced it. Or if I can, possibly reproducing it. Sometimes I'm helping development. So if they're looking for something specific, I'm helping them out, getting feedback for them, making reports for them on basically everything that you can think PlanetSide 2-wise. I'm watching you, internets, all of you, whether you're on Reddit, Twitter, Facebook, on the forums, I'm pretty much, I can see all of that. And so I'm like compiling all that data and making reports, basically utilizing all the feedback that players have given us. And then on top of that, I help with a lot of marketing stuff. So if we do a marketing campaign or anything like that, I'm kind of helping out with those things. And everything that you've ever seen community-wise, I'm doing all that. And forum moderation, I'm the sole moderator, so that's kind of how all of that works.
That sounds like a lot. So you have to not only moderate the forums by yourself, but then you have to search the entire internet for what people are talking about.
We got tools, so it's not just me sitting here looking through everything. I have some tools, some magical internet tools that I utilize. So that's kind of helpful.
All right, you guys got some questions for?
Yeah, I wanted to start off with just, you know, what is your proudest moment working on PlanetSide 2? You know, that one thing that you just flip out and go, oh yeah, I did that.
I think my favorite moment was when we were at E3 the first year that we were in alpha, and being able to show off our game and have people playing it, just like, hey, yeah, hop on, play. And being able to cast with Total Biscuit during that period of time, that was pretty awesome for me. So I think that would probably be my highlight. And then also just winning all those awards and stuff and just being an alpha. And I think that was a lot of fun for me.
That does sound really fun. Struggling with this, but can you describe, you know, what you've been doing since that moment?
I think she already has.
Yeah,
I guess so. I've been working a lot on PlanetSide 2, so... Yeah, I mean, since Alpha, well, we launched the game, obviously. It's been crazy. Lots of great feedback. Things have changed drastically. I mean, if you played the game from Alpha or Beta or even a couple months ago to playing it now, we're constantly updating things. Our UI is changing. Our game is just getting better in general. We're going back and cleaning up things. People obviously know now we're working on Operation Make Faster Game, which is obviously going back, cleaning things up, making sure that everyone has a better experience performance-wise. And I think that, you know, that's our primary focus at the moment.
Speaking of Make It Faster, what is that about?
Operation Make Faster Game is about making performance and optimizations on our game better. So everything that we're doing, whether it's art, code, even just moving objects around, replacing objects, making UI just run faster, things like that. We're doing everything, all the things. Rendering, I could just go on and on with the list of stuff that we're doing, but it might not all make sense to people.
Okay. So it's basically just optimizing the game out, or?
Yep, optimizing the game and making it a better, making it so that everyone else has better performance, whether you have a high-end PC or a low-end PC. I know a lot of people have been asking. We've also gotten a lot of questions about AMD users versus, you know, other products. So, I mean, yeah, we're going to be making sure everyone has a better experience all around.
Well, that's awesome. That's actually really good news.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an uber PC, and sometimes I'm not getting 60 FPS, and that kind of sucks, you know?
Likewise, fist bump. Yeah, I'm a complete computer nerd, and I have to have mine the biggest, baddest possible. I understand that.
Yeah, I'm a tech enthusiast, so I'm the same way.
So, Will, you got anything else?
Yeah, what else is coming up for PlanetSide 2? You talked about Make It Faster, but what other things are coming up in the future?
Yeah, besides Operation Make Faster Game, we are right now doing a thing called World Domination Series, and we're in our preseason. It's kind of just a community event right now where people can all work together for a global objective. At the moment, our only challenge is territory control, and we want you to hold territory. So basically, you just play the game because that's the game. Yeah. But in the future, we want to utilize new objectives each week, objectives throughout the week. We've been actually working on ways to make things better for population, because we know we have an empire faction imbalance, and that's been a huge concern from our community, and we're constantly listening to them, and we're working on some fixes for that, as well as a weighted scoring system and a bunch of other stuff that should be really cool.
A weighted score system?
Yeah, for our World Domination series. So okay, cool. I can actually toss you guys a link here so you guys can check it out. But it's players.planetside2.com .com/WDS. And maybe they can put it in the show notes or something. But you guys can check that out.
Oh, cool.
We actually provide you with, put it in the Skype chat. We provide you with the stats every week and the seasons. And you can kind of see how your server's doing versus other servers. And something that we'd like to see this grow into is something where not only are you seeing what empires are winning on every server, you're seeing the top outfits that are contributing, the three top players maybe that are contributing. So we're really kind of giving some bragging rights to the people who are really, really working hard to help their empires.
This is awesome. And Vanu's in second place. Come on, guys. You can pick it up.
I know, right? Oh, they were so close to winning last week. So I was kind of hoping they would. But the Terran have been tearing it up, that's for sure.
I see that.
Yeah.
It actually looks like a pretty close game, even though... Yeah, the Terran right now has, what, 1,500 lead?
Yeah, people have been working together and kind of bumping things up a little bit. I know that a lot of people are concerned because the Terran have won the last 3 weeks, and there's been some population imbalance, and that's something that we're completely aware of, and we're going to work on making that better. And obviously, as we go out into actual seasons, because obviously right now we're in the preseason, you know, we'll make sure that those things are fixed and that we have a better gameplay experience for people as far as this World Domination series goes. We want to make it fun. And I think that, you know, the preseason was great for us because we were able to kind of give, you know, small rewards to players and then also kind of see how it's going to work and see what the community's feedback is.
This is actually really, really cool. I'm really enjoying the website, actually. I've been clicking on everything. Ooh. I'm going to have to get involved in this.
Yeah, the player site that you're looking at right now as well, if you're clicking on other stuff and checking out leaderboards and stuff, mm-hmm. We've been in beta for that for a while, and it's actually integrated into our mobile app. We have a mobile app for PlanetSide 2 as well.
Oh, you guys got that out finally?
Yeah, it's been out for a while now.
Yeah, I know, I'm out of the loop. I have been missing this game a lot, though. I've been having kind of, like, withdrawals. I'm a big FPS nut. And having a FPS MMO like PlanetSide 2 is just, especially with the vehicle combat you guys do.
Yeah, vehicle combat's a lot of fun. Some people don't like it, and I guess if you're not someone who's into vehicles, you don't have to be, because the main objectives are going to be infantry related, because you need to capture the points, which you have to be in infantry to do. And there's lots of ways for you to travel without being in a vehicle as well.
That's very, very true.
Yeah, and I mean, there's lots of other things coming up for PlanetSide 2, but that's actually what's happening right now. I mean, obviously, we have Hossen that's going to be coming out post-Operation Make Faster Game. We have Battle Islands that we're working on. We're revamping our AMP station. We are starting to do more of our updates, so we'll be doing, like we did for other classes in the past, we're going to be doing a Sunderer update as well as an Infiltrator update, and then after the Infiltrator update, we're doing a Medic update. So we have lots of things planned. I mean, it never ends. And if you look at our roadmap, you can kind of see what things we have. I mean, obviously, they're not scheduled right now because we're working on Operation Make Faster Game. But after that, yeah. I mean, we got lots of things planned.
That's awesome to hear. Anytime
the great thing about being an working on an MMO is that there's never ending work for you.
Well, there are some companies that do kind of slack on the fixing of their MMO after it gets launched. And I'm glad to see that you guys are not slacking at all. You're actually, for everything I'm seeing, the game is just improving, which is great.
I think that, you know, that's something that a lot of companies are learning now, is that you do need to kind of take a moment sometimes and fix things. And as a company, we've definitely learned that lesson, you know. So yeah. I think that it's amazing that we're getting the opportunity when we know, like, hey, we're not putting out as much content, but we're going to be making the game better for you guys. And I think that that's a big step for a company to be able to do. And I know that some people are giving us heat for it. Other people are kind of loving it. I mean, we've been putting out episodes on our YouTube, if you want to check it out, youtube.com/PlanetSide2, Operation Make Faster Game videos. So you can actually see what these programmers are working on and listen to their stories as they're working on these. And I think that, you know, we're giving people who have maybe never worked in the industry or are always curious about it a little insight on what's happening behind the scenes.
That's awesome. That's actually really cool. I'm going to have to check those videos out. Are there any plans for a PlayStation 4 version?
Yes. We are working with PlayStation, obviously. We've been doing stuff with DCUO, which DCUO will be out on PlayStation. So you guys definitely should check that out. Definitely. PlanetSide 2, we're planning to do it. We probably won't be at launch, but, you know, we're gonna be on there.
You guys going to have any, like,
I'm excited.
PlayStation 4 betas coming out and all that?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be with them on launch, though. But we will definitely be on PlayStation 4.
That is awesome news.
It's awesome for me because I know that there are so many people who, like, love FPS games and haven't gotten to experience a game like PlanetSide 2 on console. It is huge, and
yeah.
No one's ever played a PvP game on this kind of scale ever.
And not only that, but
there's a lot of people that just want to play it and they can't because they don't have a good enough PC. And if you own a PlayStation 4, that's like bam.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with the current architecture of the new consoles being so PC-like, I mean, it's just like a marriage made in heaven. PlanetSide 2, PlayStation 4. I can see how the controller would be actually really cool, on especially with vehicle combat.
And, you know, you can always plug in a keyboard and mouse to your PlayStation. So, if that's how you like to roll, too. But, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty awesome. It's a lot different making a game for one PC, you know, versus, like, making a game for, like, multiple PCs. Especially one where you're showing thousands of players on a screen.
Yeah. So, is there going to be anything different about the PlayStation 4 version, or is it going to be pretty much just a straight port?
Right now, we really want to provide both players with the same experience. The only thing that we're not going to do is probably put them on the same servers. The major reason for that is because PlayStation does have a process, so you kind of have to get all of your builds approved, whereas when we work with our PC version, we just kind of put the builds out when we want, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of unfair and probably not work very well if we were like, hey, yeah, all the PC version people now have this update and the PlayStation people don't, and now you're playing together and it'd be lots of bad stuff happening.
That's something that happens with a lot of MMOs lately, is putting them on different servers for that reason. There's a lot of MMOs actually that are planning on porting into the new consoles, and the same thing. It's just, you know, it's not fair because the approval process through the consoles is a lot more strenuous than it is on PC, which doesn't really exist on PC. So that makes perfect sense, actually. That was actually going to be my next question.
I know. I already know it because that's the question I get all the time.
I bet.
But players, a lot of the time, you know, will ask about stuff like if they already are playing on PC and they want to swap over to PlayStation, how will that work? We don't have any final decisions on things, but I know that we are working on trying to give people transfers. So if you are a PC player and now you want to play on PlayStation because your PlayStation is obviously going to have a better experience if you have like a really bad PC or something. But with Operation Make Faster Game, it shouldn't. We do want to kind of provide that if we can. It's just not set in stone.
That's pretty cool if you guys do that. That'd be really neat.
Yeah, it would be awesome. But we'll see how it goes.
And I'm just thinking, you mentioned the Battle Islands earlier. Those almost seem ideal for a PS4 version. What's the latest information on those?
So Battle Islands, we're still making them. Obviously, we have Nexus already on the public test server. So if you want to hop on the public test server and you find somebody like one of the devs on, or if another player's in there, they can toss you an invite. But yeah, we've already had players playing on it. It's going to be part of the real world, just like anything else all of our other maps are. It's just going to be linked a little bit differently. We're also going to be using that for our tournaments. If you know anything about like what our plans are with MLG, we're going to be kind of doing some little, you know, outfit versus outfits, possible other things in the future.
That sounds good. It'll be
48 versus 48 during that period for the tournaments. But I think during normal play, I think we're hoping for about 500 on the map.
So it's a
little smaller because our normal maps that we have, if you've ever played on the PlanetSide 2 maps, those are about 2,000 players.
Yeah.
So it's a lot smaller and a lot less players.
But
you have an objective. You have a goal, right? Like there's a time that you need to, accomplish all the things on, and you have the two nexuses that you need to take and capture, as well as the middle bases and the in between. And there's kind of lanes, so it's a little bit more strategic play.
That actually sounds pretty cool. So how are the Friday Night Ops going? I mean, just so there are listeners who don't know about this, what is it, and what are you guys doing with that?
Yeah, we're still going. I started Friday Night Ops in Alpha because Smed pulled me into his office. I thought, like, I was getting fired. I was like, what did I do? And apparently he was watching my streams that I've been streaming, and he wanted me to do something for PlanetSide 2, and I was like, okay. So I started doing a stream on twitch.tv/PlanetSide2 every Friday, And when we started, it was like a 10-hour show. It was ridiculous. Now it's from 5 to 7 p.m. PDT. And basically, it's hosted by me. And sometimes I have other developers on there. Sometimes I have other people in the community on. I do outfit spotlights, player spotlights, event spotlights, all kinds of other things. We share videos from all of our communities. It's kind of just like a community get-together, and everyone hangs out, and sometimes there's developers on there. They get to answer your questions right there live, and you get to talk to them and kind of meet them and get to know them as people and gamers.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've seen a few of them.
We're on our 48th episode coming up this week. So.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, it's great. I watched one here, I think it was this last Friday, and you know, you're doing some amazing things, running around, jumping on top of buildings, jumping down and, you know, behind somebody, killing them, and then jumping back onto the roof again.
Oh, really, you're talking about my personal stream stuff?
Yeah, it may have been your personal stream. It looked like it was one of the Friday night ops, because it had all of the, you know, the banners on the left side.
Oh, yeah, that's probably my own personal stream. The SOE stream has like only Friday night ops on the top, and it's usually a little bit more clear.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't usually get to play on Friday night ops. Unfortunately, everyone wants me to, but usually I let the other developers play because I think it's a great opportunity for them to kind of get play time because sometimes they don't get to play, and also it gets them to play with the community, you know, which I get to do on my own time, but I don't think that they always get to do. It's kind of nice.
That's cool. What is your favorite faction?
Vanu Sovereignty.
Yes.
Where my VS homies at?
I've been a Vanu since PlanetSide 1.
Ditto.
Never look back.
No. I actually didn't like get a choice when I first started. I think I just inherited it, and then now I'm like, I can't go back. But yeah, when I first started playing PlanetSide, the original PlanetSide, I played with a bunch of friends, and they were already Vanu, so I just was like, okay, I'll be Vanu too. So
technology is power.
And then it never stopped. The Vanu just kept going. My hair started turning purple.
you win points. So a while back, this is probably early in the summer, there were kind of hints at something that kind of really caught my attention, and you guys were talking about the possibility of naval combat.
Yeah, so that's long, long time down the road, but I think it'd be awesome, and I know that the development team would love to see it. Something that, you know, SMED has talked about in the past was having a seamless world, which I think would be amazing, and, you know, as technology progresses, I really think that we can do this. We already kind of do something like this for Vanguard Saga of Heroes, if you've ever played that.
Yeah.
It's a Sony game. And we basically, you can build your own boat and go to another continent instead of using the other type of travel system. And I think that being able to do something like that in PlanetSide, where you actually travel via, you know, some kind of maybe amphibious vehicle.
Yeah,
that'd be from one amazing. Continent to another would be amazing. Or
I can imagine
huge,
like some,
you know,
battleships.
Ship freight,
or,
yeah.
That kind of combat, speedboats. Oh. And the Vanu.
Yeah, I think people
would
have seen the
BA.
Bastion, and they always freak out when they see the Bastion too. There was some concept art that was shown about that. The Bastion is going to be baller, but that's a later down the road kind of thing. But it kind of gives you an idea. We have huge plans for PlanetSide too, and even what I told you is kind of more closely coming up is still, that's a lot of stuff that we're working on, you know.
Very cool. Just because you know, I respect you as a player a lot, what is your top tip for somebody that's just really starting to play?
Top tip for somebody starting to play, unfortunately, I really think the best thing for somebody who's a new player is just to find an outfit or find a crew of people to play with, because we have such an amazing community in PlanetSide 2, and people are just so willing to help you out and teach you the ways of things, and I think that that's going to be a better way for you to actually find the fun parts of PlanetSide 2, rather than trying to like just teach you something simple where it's like, oh, what's your favorite class, and here's a weapon for you to choose. I think that that's not as good advice as it would be to just tell you to find some really cool people to hang out with, and they can teach you the ropes and show you how fun PlanetSide 2 can be. Because outside of combat, there's also a lot of fun things that you just happen upon, and it's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
That is really cool. So, is there anything that you wanted to talk about before we say goodnight?
I mean, I don't know. You should definitely play PlanetSide 2. Come hang out with us. PlanetSide2.com. We're free. I mean, free-to-play game where you can kill everything.
And I still think that PlanetSide 2 has one of my favorite free-to-play models I've seen in a game yet.
Yeah, pretty much you can play our game, and as long as you just put time into it, you'll gain certification points, and you can unlock everything. The only thing that costs money is cosmetic stuff like camos and helmets and armor, and those are the only thing that actually cost station cash, and those don't give you any benefit in-game.
Very nice.
Margaret, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I would love to have you back on again in a future time, maybe after some kind of major update or something, and get you back on and chat with us. And hopefully Aaron won't have computer issues this time.
Maybe he'll hang around. Maybe he'll actually like being around me.
I'm sure that's not it. That's not it, I swear.
Thank you guys for having me on here. Maybe I can be part of more of the regular just discussion about various topics instead of just being interviewed.
Definitely.
That'd be cool.
I know that you're normally busy on Wednesday nights, so maybe we can set up a different record night and just have you come on and just chat with us for an entire episode.
Yeah, I'm down. That'd be fun. I love podcasting. And, you know, if you guys want to find where I'm at, I'm usually hanging out, streaming on my own stream, which is twitch.tv/loopherza. I also do a lot of streaming on PlanetSide 2. We're actually streaming almost every day of the week now, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at twitch.tv/PlanetSide2. So I'm busy in that regard. And then, like you said, I'm usually busy on Wednesdays because we have Community Clash, which is awesome. It's a community-driven, outfit-versus-outfit competitive show with casting and all that kind of jazz. And it's at twitch.tv/AGNTV. And I could just go on forever about all the community things that are going on. But, PlanetSide 2 is awesome. The people are awesome. You should play.
Definitely should play. I'm going to be getting back involved in it again because I miss it.
And yes, I got come back free to time. Us.
Well, I have a book coming out next month, so my time has been pretty non-existent this summer. So,
yeah, I can imagine that. Books, that's a lot of work.
It is, but finally we're on the final stretch. So,
Congratulations to you then.
Oh, thank you. Margaret, I will definitely be in touch with you about getting you on a full episode. I think that would be absolutely awesome. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And there you go. There you go. The interview with Margaret. She's in chat room, and it was pretty cool as she was in there commenting on the interview. That was a lot of fun. We had a blast with her. We're going to bug the snot out of her and get her on more often. Talk more PlanetSide 2 and just talk with us about esports and action gaming, period. I think that'd be great. Aaron, you sad you missed it?
Yeah, I'm really sad. And it's not because I don't like you. You're a very cool person, Margaret. It's my computer. It was bugging out on me, I swear.
I get that fixed, buddy.
So one of the biggest things...
I got it running now, don't I? We're good
right?
to go.
He's on the show tonight. One of the biggest things I took for the interview that, for some reason, I spaced when we were interviewing was their getting involved with MLG. That's big.
Yeah, it'll be exciting seeing that on MLG.
For those who don't know, that's Major League Gaming. They're one of the biggest esports leagues on the planet.
What's esports?
Well, you know what? You're fired. Go back to episode one and listen.
That was really a great interview. I'm excited for the Operation Make Faster game. I know I was saying in chat, Joe, I asked you specifically if she had mentioned this. And you're like, nope, sorry. Wait for the show. Like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I'm a stinker. But
in anticipation for that, I already re-downloaded the game, and I'm going to be jumping back in there. So for those of you in the community, be sure to jump on Mumble, and I'll share with you what my username is.
I'm the widget. I'm always the widget. Everything. The widget. WIGIT. And I need a new home on the venue. I don't have an outfit.
So alone.
Anyway, guys, we're going to get into our next segment, our adrenaline review. This week, we reviewed World of Warplanes, the beta edition. I definitely plan on redoing the review when the game officially launches. I believe it's coming out in December. early December is what I last heard. So we plan on redoing the review at that point, but right now, this review is from what we've played countless hours on. I know I have put in, oh geez, I have 42 or 43 matches from the last 2 days.
Oh, awesome. I'm right at the same level then. I just did 42 today.
Yeah, but I got a higher tier than you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I suck.
All right, guys, you're both horrible flyers. Now let's just continue.
Me? Horrible flyer? Have you seen my accolades?
You can't avoid Supa, though.
Oh, well, yeah, unfortunately.
Fall.
So we're going to talk about... We're going to do two things here. We're going to talk about our play in... Warplanes, because we've had a lot to talk about on this. And then we're also going to give our overall... our individual scores and the overall score for this game. And first thing I want to say, guys, is I'm addicted. I am hooked. And there's a couple things with this game. There's a couple positives and negatives with it. And the overall positive is the game has average graphics, which is not bad. And it allows for, you know, medium to lower NPCs to be able to run it just fine. I've experienced no lag. None at all. And the queues were actually relatively short. I think the longest queue I had was literally a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I have the same experience. It was quick getting into a game.
All the matches are fast. They're usually set to a 15-minute time limit. I think I've seen one go for 12 minutes was the longest. Most of them were done within 5 to 6 minutes, give or take. What do you guys think? Is that accurate? Or
Yeah, I think most of my games, probably about 80% of my games, were under 10 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It seems so quick when you're in the game. You know, it's always just flying. You start off and you have that quick break before the action starts. And then the action just seems just like really concentrated in a probably a 2-3 minute time period. And then as, you know, kind of people start weeding out, it slows down a little bit.
Yeah.
But generally, it is done in 6 minutes and just a blast.
What World of Warplanes is generally it's an airplane combat game. Right now, they have only one game mode besides team practice, and that's or regular practice. You have the standard game. And what that is that here's my biggest flaw with this. Well, I'll get that in a second, but you literally start out with what they call... there's multiple tiers of airplanes. It's similar to how World of Tanks works, if you're familiar with that. You have multiple tiers of tanks. Tier 1 being the weakest, Tier 10 being the strongest. Tier 1, you start out with biplanes, older aircraft that are pretty slow, great maneuverability, but slow, weak firepower. And you can research and develop new parts for your airplane, whether it be fuselage, whether it be engines, guns, bombs, and you can improve your airplane that way. And they have what's called a tech tree, and you can pick like certain nationalities or countries. You have USA, you have the USSR, you have Germany, Japan, and the UK. And that's all of them, right?
Yeah, yes. I think France is still coming up.
Yeah.
But it's not out yet.
So you start out with a Tier 1 plane, and you develop it from there. And you can research and develop into your Tier 2 plane. Some of the trees, like, for instance, the United States one, has a tree split. You start out with the P-11, which is a little tiny biplane, and you can go into two different paths. And what I like, and each little, each country has their strengths and weaknesses to their planes, depending on your playstyle. There are three different types of planes. You have your fighter, your heavy fighter, and the heavy?
Assault.
Attack.
Yes, attack.
Yeah, attack.
All right?
Yeah, there's attack.
Each one has their purpose. Your fighters are anti-aircraft. They're the dogfighters. All right? Your heavy fighters are for dogfights, but they're also for ground attack. And you have your attack, which is all about ground attack. Taking out bases, taking out ships on the ground, things of that nature. So you have two ways of winning. You can gain control, which I haven't figured out yet, which is my big negative, and you can wipe out every enemy airplane, which is the one that happens like 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you, again, you have your three different types, and you can branch off in this tech tree to what kind of, to go down the tech tree for your airplane. There's, I believe, one of them, I think USSR has a massive branches that it goes off of.
Yeah, it's huge.
Japan only has one tech tree. It doesn't branch off at all. United States currently has a two branch. This is only open beta. They might add more in the future, but right now this is what it is. And you just build off your tiers from that. Your tiers, the planes get stronger, they get faster, but they also change their stats a little bit. I'm currently in a tier 4, and I went down the right side of the American tree, and I did that because I wanted the fastest and most maneuverable airplanes in the game. To me, that was a lot more valuable than firepower and hit points. If you can outmaneuver in the air and you got skill, then you got it. Speaking of skill, one of the big differences between World of Tanks and World of Warplanes is that World of War Tanks, if I can talk straight, focuses more on strategy and less on skill. There is definitely skill involved in World of Tanks, without a doubt, but not as much as strategy. I've watched tournaments where it was all about who had the best strategy won. In World of Warplanes, it's more about skill than it is about strategy. Did you guys notice this at all?
Yeah, I agree with you to a point. I think one of the big things is who can avoid all of the other planes. You know, and I just see so many people get locked onto that target that's right in front of them and don't realize that it's actually flying towards them. And, you know, you see so many mid-air collisions.
Well, that's where skill comes in.
Yeah, right? It's true.
It really does. More and more I play this game, the more and more I learn how to maneuver and how to dogfight against different types of aircraft. It does take a massive amount of skill because in World of Tanks, it's, you know, you normally don't get up close to your opponent. You're long distance and it's a couple of shots at a time. It's not exactly thrilling. It can be, but it's not that fast-paced action. All right, so we're having a ton of Skype problems tonight, but that's okay. We'll get around it. As I was saying, more strategy comes from World of Warplanes, less from World of Tanks. Opposite. More strategy comes in from World of Tanks because of terrain and how you have to maneuver the terrain. Less strategy involved with World of Warplanes because terrain really isn't a factor unless you're coming up to it too quickly.
That happened a number of times.
Right. Then it becomes into play. I mean, to the point where you can use a terrain or your advantage by going through valleys, and if you have a really maneuverable plane, I've done this to a couple people who were on my tail. Like, I had a heavy fighter. I went into a ravine and went straight at a mountain and booked it straight up the mountain in hopes that he would crash, and sure enough, he nailed it.
Nice.
Smack dab into the mountain, and I got credit for the kill. Knowing how to fight in that game, how to maneuver your aircraft, and when to use, like, I've learned how to pull out of a tight turn using my boost, my afterburner. You have a limited amount you can use for it. So, I mean, I'll go into a tight turn with someone on my tail, and I'll dive while hitting my boost, and I'll cut right underneath them and come up underneath them and start shooting. Depending if it's a slow plane.
That and your flaps, if you adjust your flaps at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
Pull a tighter turn.
When you get flaps on an airplane. I noticed that, for instance, when I was playing... Let me see, what am I thinking about here? I lost my train of thought.
Oh, no.
But anyway, so you can build your different tiers. My maneuverable airplane, okay? For instance, I've learned that going head-to-head with any other airplane is a bad idea. Because I'm like a paper cannon.
Paper cannon. I was calling it a glass pea shooter.
That works, too. Glass pea shooter, because it moves everywhere, but... Yeah. Anyway, I noticed that if I got behind my opponent, they usually could not shake me off unless they had an equally maneuverable plane with equal skill. Only one time did I get behind somebody and not be able to take them out, and they got behind me. My hat's off that person, because they had more skill than me. It was a aerial dance is what it was between me and him. It shocked me. I wasn't expecting him to be that good and come up behind me and take me out. I got him about halfway down. He wiped me out. I was impressed. And yes,
I don't think that ever happened to me.
There's a lot of douchebags out there who get those heavy fighters and think that they're made of, like, solid steel and will try to ram people.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
They're lost because it nearly kills them. You take heavy damage getting into a fight like that. I try to avoid collisions at all possible unless I'm fighting with John.
Right.
So my score is based off the fact that there's not enough variety in the game currently. The maps don't really play too much of a big deal. It changes the scenery. That's it. I did notice that there are sometimes, like, they'll have clouds, which makes a strategic advantage or disadvantage, depending on how you look at it. And I guess the terrain only plays out when you want to do the ground game, when you're taking out ground targets, which is something that why I'm not giving it as high a score as I could is because they don't explain the other avenue of the game at all. Mm-hmm. Like, how does the advantage work? This advantage system. Okay, I saw, like, I played one game, we had five guys alive and one left, and he was hiding in their base. And yet, their advantage kept climbing. We chased him down, but by the time we got to him, they had 100 advantage, and he won.
All by hiding.
All by hiding. I didn't understand how that worked. I still don't. And they need to explain that a lot more.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. It's really hard to find the information on what is actually creating that advantage. Because a lot of things seem like they're pretty straightforward. It's the number of points that you have. It's the number of planes left. The ground targets that have been destroyed. But a lot of times, you know, or at least a couple of matches, you know, it appeared that we had a plane advantage and we had almost wiped out all of the ground targets, yet the other team was gaining an advantage. And I really didn't see why it was.
Yeah, and that's one of my biggest gripes with the game is how little, other than the basic flight controls and basic combat maneuvers, the tutorials teach you. And I hope that's something that they improve on.
Very much so. I agree with you guys 100% on that. Again, this is only an open beta, and they have been making leaps and bounds on the game. That's why we're going to do another review after the game is launched to give it a fair chance, you know? My score was an 8.0. It is highly addicting. And I can definitely see myself going all the way up to tier 10, but then is it going to be enough to hold me after tier 10? The replay value, because of the lack of gameplay or lack of variety, is a little concerning to me at the point, but the gameplay itself is absolutely wicked fun. Wicked mm-hmm. fun. I was not expecting it to be that much fun. So an 8.0 based on gameplay alone, just the combat, everything about it was great. What about you, Aaron?
Well, I mean, it's a good game, and it's really addicting. You know, on a scale of 1 to meth, I'm Breaking Bad. I did realize it was a bit buggy. One time I was playing, and I was flying through an area, and suddenly I just exploded. There was no enemy around me. I don't know what happened. I just exploded. But it is in beta, and, I mean, there's going to be things like that. It does take a little bit of adjusting to. One of the things I didn't like was there was no pre-made barrel roll into the standard. I mean, I guess if you have a joystick, maybe, but I had to go in and modify some of my controls. I don't know if any of you had to do that.
No.
No, love my controls.
Yeah. No, I didn't touch them.
I added an A for my left roll and my D for my right roll so I could do spins. I don't know if it really does anything, but there's just a part of me from all the other flying aspects of almost any other game that it's usually A to left roll and D to right roll, so I just had to add that in. The graphics were okay, but I'm not a big graphics guy, and it is in beta. So it's like a lot of the things that I have to criticize are mainly due to the fact that it's, you know, it's in beta, so I don't know if I should even be criticizing it.
Right, right. You just got to criticize it on the gameplay itself, not really the graphics, because those will change as the game goes live.
Yeah, no, and that's why, you know, that I'm just putting that in there. It didn't. I'm saying that so maybe they'll listen and they'll make it a little bit prettier. But if not, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not scoring it on that. But what I did notice is that the gameplay, I wish there was more teamwork. I don't know. It just seemed
you didn't play
at
with
least
us,
in all
man.
The games I have, there was no teamwork.
When I play with John and Will on a flight. Yeah. Path or a flight team, we did a strategy mm-hmm. and we had a blast doing it. It was much fun.
I need to play with you guys then, because I was flying and there was like five of us, and then I'm all, you know, flying do, and then there's no one around me, none of my teammates, and then like eight airplanes came out of nowhere and just swarmed me, and like all I could do was spin around and try and shoot them, but I was like shot out of the air really quickly. You know, so maybe I've just been playing the wrong games, or maybe you got to kind of build your own team. I guess everyone's kind of all for themselves at this moment.
Oh, right now, yeah. I've seen some strategy playing. You kind of just kind of go with your team. I've seen some games that were free-for-all, some that actually had strategies involved. It was pretty cool in some instances like that. I mean, I had most fun when I was playing with either my brother, playing with Will, playing with John, or playing with all three of them. Right now, the maximum size of team you can have is three people. And I'm hoping that will change after beta ends.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is just my luck of the draw, but I've only been on two maps. Are there more?
Oh, yeah. A lot more.
Yeah, there's a lot more. I don't know how many.
I'm still discovering new maps.
I've only been on two, so, like, I mean, I didn't want to judge it by that because I didn't know if I was just getting, like, you know, luck, you know, bad luck on it or something. But, yeah, I've only been on two maps, so after a while it gets kind of like, oh, look, it's that tree again. So if there is more maps, I'm hoping they'll put me in the different ones, so maybe I'm just, you know, drawing the short stick there. But it does run smooth, like Joe said. I mean, I didn't experience any lag at all. And once I adjusted the controls, everything flowed really well. And, I mean, it's just a really fun, addicting game. At first, it was, like, a little slow because I didn't like my first plane. But now that I'm kind of moving up my tech tree, getting nicer planes, it seems like the more I advance, the funner it gets for me. Funner. It's not even a word. But I'll use it. Yeah.
And what was your score?
And my score for it is an 8.
And Will?
All right. I'm right in line with you guys. I think you've hit most of my points that I mentioned, or that I wanted to mention, but there's a couple of additional things. You know, I thought it was a real neat twist to do the really simplistic mouse controls. You know, you didn't need a big flight stick with this, unlike some of the other titles that I'd played previously. But it still reminded me very much of, like, Red Baron, which I played from the old Sierra games. So a lot of those things that I was really addicted to, I don't know, a long time ago. I won't even, you know, cause a guess at how long ago it was. But I remember trying to set up, you know, flight sticks and trying to manually control everything, whereas the mouse controls were just real easy, kind of almost a point-and-click kind of interface, but a little bit more intense where, you know, you kind of showed where you wanted to go, and based on how you changed where you were aiming, you would end up doing rolls and you would end up doing flips and I played a lot of maneuvers.
I've played a lot of air combat games. I'm kind of a fan of them. And this one has the most, I want to say, the most fluid mouse controls I've ever played.
Yeah, same here. It was really good. That was one of the big highlights. And, you know, we were playing, last night? And yeah. Now all my kids are playing, and they're totally addicted. We've got the little house flight going every once in a while when we can all find time to sit down together. But really neat controls. I think it's easy to learn, even for, you know, my 10-year-old son. He's enjoying it. He likes it. He gets a little frustrated when people run into him. But at the same time, he's part of that problem with keeping everybody in his targets.
You know, I got frustrated when people ran into me until I stopped and realized it was actually my fault.
I think a lot of times it is.
I could have got out of the way, but I didn't. I mean, sometimes these guys are intentionally trying to bomb you by doing these weird flips out of nowhere and then coming ramming into you. But we'll get into that in a minute when we talk about our actual gameplay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then, you know, just trying to look, a couple of the other things that I really liked is queuing as a flight. I think, you know, I don't know if you guys saw it, maybe you did, but the flight leader tools where you can see everybody just claiming that they're ready.
Yep.
And then actually being able to queue, I think that's brilliant. I know for the longest time I was asking, you know, Joe, hey, are you ready? But then I realized, oh, it already says when he's not ready. When he's ready, I can go ahead and start the battle. And I thought that was really, really great.
And there was a lot of things about the whole thing that I really liked. Is when you're in-game, you start out all together.
Yeah, in flight. A very little squadron.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's very, very easy to tell where your teammates are.
Yeah, just don't look at them too long, because You know, I had the mistake of sitting there not watching the countdown and looking at the guy to my left or to my right, and then suddenly the countdown starts and you instantly turn.
And Will's flying right at
person.
Me. Yeah.
But other than that, it was I really enjoy being able to look around and see how everybody kind of in your squadron of 15 or 14, I think it kind of varies how many planes are actually on your side, but always an even match. I'm just looking to see if, you know, I really like the tech trees. And, you know, we never really mentioned it, but I never felt like I was grinding for that next level. There seems to be lots of options to either alter, like if you do the premium planes, you have some points or experience points. You can change those into free experience for a price of the I don't even know what the main coins are, the ones with the B on them.
Oh, yeah.
But the little tokens that you get basically at the end of the matches sometimes. And those are all, it seems like you can transfer things from either to the tokens or to free experience or to more coins that allow you to pick up that next upgrade. So you never really feel like you're grinding anything out. See, on some of my cons, you know, when we look at the UI, I didn't even realize that there's an in-game voice chat for the flight. Mm. You know, we were using Skype, but I don't know if anybody else realized that there's voice chat.
Yeah, so I noticed it, but yeah, we were in Skype. I noticed it, but we were in Skype, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah. So, and then some of the stats. I know we, you know, looked at what our optimum altitude is for each of our planes, but that's just not, you know, plainly visible that you can click down those menus on the side and actually see more items that are behind
your overall
star
stats,
system,
which are actually mislabeled. They're actually under your overall stats for your gameplay is located in your achievements.
Oh yeah, a lot of things are. It just seems hidden, and so that was some of the things that I didn't like. And then probably my biggest con overall, even though a lot of times I really liked the matchmaking system, but you know I kind of coined that glass pea shooter when we ended up we were level 2 and 3, and then every other plane that we were going up against was a tier 5.
I like that because in that game I got my awesome reward for taking out 3 tier 5s in a single match.
Oh yeah, really? Yeah.
I mean, every time I've gone into a match, like if I have, you know, 2 tier 1s, 3 tier 2s, 4 tier 3s and then like a tier 6, the other team has that exact combination on their team, no different.
Yeah.
I don't know if that. So I always thought it was fairly
Yeah,
balanced.
It is interesting on that. At first, Will, I was kind of the same way. I didn't like it. Then I realized that it wasn't bad because my airplane may not be as fast as them that are 2 tiers higher than me or have mm-hmm. higher firepower, but I still had a massive maneuverability advantage. And I used that to take out and get my special reward for taking out, you know, 3 planes that were 2 tiers higher than me in a single match.
Yeah, I hate those biplanes. They're so valuable.
Yeah. They were fun. But, I mean, overall, I gave it an 8, similar to everybody else. Just very addicting gameplay. And the cons really kind of melt away after you play a little while.
And John?
All right. I really am kind of right there with all you guys. I agree that I love the controls. Like Will was saying, they're very easy to learn, but you can still see that there's a depth in there because of all the number crunching you could really do to find out your optimal altitude and speed and so on. So there's depth as well, and that makes it very interesting. Some of the things I didn't like are basically what you guys were saying, but I think it's important to note that I think all of us really love the gameplay. The core of this game is awesome, and I think we're all more or less going to keep playing this game, if not right after the show.
Right.
But all the things that we would like improved for the most part are all convenience of, you know, the game. You know, just making everything a little easier to find, making the explanation of the wind conditions and everything just a little easier to understand, and all those things. You know, just simple tweaks that they could do down the road. So I'm really looking forward to revisiting the game. I'm loving it right now. I gave it an 8.5.
Yeah, I like your little the matchmaking thing you put in there? Sure, it may be a problem. It may not be a problem for Joe, but...
Oh, yeah, because, like you said, you had a hat trick against tier 5s. We're sitting there, me and Will, we're tier, I believe, 3s, or I might even be a tier 2.
I think you were a tier,
getting tier 2 at the time.
Thanks for rubbing it in, Will. Appreciate it. Anyway, so, Joe's over here, flying around, getting kill after kill, while me and Will are just trying to stay out of everyone's radar and not die. And then all of a sudden, he gets a hat trick, gets a special award against two tiers higher than us. The matchmaking could be a little better. Come on. Like you said today, Joe, it never places us in those matches where we're up against the 2s and the 1s and the 3s.
Me and John,
we're always
earlier,
against the 5 and the 6s.
We were like, geez, we're always the lower tier. Why aren't we ever the top tier here?
Well, I wonder if that has something to do with being in a flight.
I also wonder if it has something to do with your stats.
It could be, but I didn't think my stats were all that great.
I'm on a 68% win right now.
Ah, you're doing better than I am. I think I'm at 48.
Or maybe it's like you guys do have tiers 1, 2s, and 3s on the other team, but you guys just randomly keep running into the tier 5s.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, we see that there's usually equal amounts or close to. So the overall adrenaline review score for World of Warplanes, as in open beta, is 8.0. We'll revisit this review after it launches in December and see if it changes. So I got to talk about gameplay, guys. I've been itching to do this for the longest time. I got a chance to play with Will, and I got a chance to play with John yesterday, like we said in the flight. And if you're ever flying with John, make sure there's at least 4 or 5 plane lengths between you and him.
Oh, come on. You didn't need that tail or that wing.
I have 2 news segments about World of Warplanes.
Yeah.
All right. I have good news.
What's that?
I killed Joe twice. Then I have bad news.
You're in his flight.
Both times.
I was chasing down a guy, and I knew that John was with me, okay? We were both maneuvering. We had, like, 3 or 4 very close calls. We were both fighting this guy. And I went for a... He went up on a straight-up dive, or not dive, but a climb. And I was on his tail, and as I pull up, and I did a sharp turn as I used my boost to get a sharp angle, here comes John out of nowhere, and his wing just slices right through my tail. So I go in a tailspin and crash to the bottom and die. And then later on... Same thing, kind of. I go for a turn, and here comes John out of nowhere and takes off my wing.
Just wanted to high five.
Yeah.
Wing slap.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, Joe, you had to pay for my damage both times.
I did. It kind of means...
You got the negative
that's
one.
Like put salt on the wound.
Ah, it was... bummer.
I ran into somebody once, and I was like, I shot these 2 people down, and then I was shooting at a third guy who's we're coming straight at each other, and then right before I blow him up, we hit each other and we both explode. But that's the only time I've ever actually hit anybody.
Me and Will are both doing the American high maneuverability, high speed. After you do the P-11, it's to the F-2F, which I love that plane, and then you go into the F-3F, which was my plane right now. It's I love that plane. I have 32 kills with that and 21 deaths.
Oof, good job.
On my tier 4, the F2A, the Buffalo, not so much. I have that thing built for firepower, though. It has a massive firepower, like 195, but my maneuverability is like half of what the F3F is. So I'm still learning how to really adjust with that plane.
Yeah, that's going to be difficult because I enjoy the maneuverability with the F3F. I don't know if I now want to jump up to that next tier.
You seemed like you were getting the hang of it towards the end of when we were playing earlier.
Yeah, I was starting to get the hang of it. I started getting kills. So, guys, sorry about that. Anyway, tell me a little bit about your play.
Well, I'm going down the left side of the American tree, like I said, because the P-51 Mustang is not only my favorite airplane in the game, but it's my favorite warplane of all time. Even with the modern jets and stuff, I just love that the Mustang. It's just my favorite air vehicle
of all time. So that's what I've been working on. And when I first started, I'd be lucky to get one kill in a game because I was trash. Will said, you know, he's like, you get into that combat and like you got 2 or 3 minutes and it felt like 20 seconds for me. And that's probably just because I suck. But I've been getting a little bit better. So I can usually average on about 3 kills a match, which I think is pretty good. I've upgraded right now. I have the Hawk. I'm about to upgrade to the Kitty Hawk.
The Kitty Hawk?
Yeah, the Kitty Hawk. I forget the actual alphanumeric designation for it, but the nickname is the Kitty Hawk. And it's pretty maneuverable, but it's really powerful and it's really fast too. So I am always good unless I run against the biplanes, because it seems like the biplanes can just turn on a dime and they can't hit me, and if they do, it doesn't do nothing to me, but they just keep going in circles and I just have to fly off and just go kill somebody else because they're just like little gnats in the air and I can't attack them.
Yeah, unless you want to SWAT. That's me.
Yep. And so that's why I'll just be on Joe's team instead of against him, because then I don't have to worry about him bugging me.
We gotta do that.
So yeah, we do. I mean, definitely, for sure. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much just been my gameplay. Is just, you know, I'm working for that Mustang, and I'm just trying to hit hard and hit fast.
All right, guys, you know, I have the perfect way to describe our gameplay. You ready? Picture yourself as a 9-foot-tall blue person. Make your hand into the shape of a plane, and be like, I was banking like this, and I was going in turns like this. No one.
Exactly.
Avatar reference, nobody.
You could explain it to the people listening, because they might not know, because I totally know what you're talking about.
Watch my streams. I have a couple streams recorded. Man, that game is so wicked fun, and the adrenaline I get after getting like a 3-kill game, it's ridiculous. In that game, you're doing well at one kill, as long as you didn't ram into somebody for that one kill like a douche.
That reminds me of my first game out the door. I get just that thrill of shooting down your first kill and then blindsided, get rammed, and watch yourself fall to the ground. Ultimate high, ultimate low, all in 30 seconds.
You know, it's bad because I got rammed in my car. Not my car. My flying car. My airplane blew up and I was still flying around for probably a good minute before I finally hit the ground. So it's just like, I'm just watching myself slowly falling to the ground, dying.
Did you guys ever realize that a lot of the fun, too, in this game is to actually just spectate after you're dead?
Yeah. I don't like having to watch my deep plummet to my death before I can spectate, though. That is one thing.
Yeah, I'm with you there, John. It would be great if you could somehow just jump over to the other people right away, because I don't want to see myself die. Even though some of them are pretty epic.
It's a sad fall. It's a sad, shameful fall.
Oh, I love the animations in this game when you get into combat. Just the thrill when you're gunning someone, you're chasing somebody down, and you get that critical hit, and they just like burst into flames and start going down in an arc and explode as you fly by.
Do you guys remember our first game as the flight with me, Joe, and Will? We were going straight at the other team, and all of a sudden, randomly, there was like a 3-plane collision.
Yes, that was great.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was the 3 planes that we were going to go after, and they all ran into each other.
It was two of the enemy and one of our guys that started engaging in combat, and for some reason, all three of them hit at an apex. Massive explosion, and they all three go off, and they're flying like fiery balls of fire to the ground in different directions. It was great. Cue Avatar.
Now I'm sad because I wasn't there. Why do I miss all the good things? Miss the interview. I don't get to play Warplanes with everybody. You know, I wasn't there when the Berlin Wall fell. I mean, I miss everything.
You were there in spirit.
I don't even think I was alive when the Berlin Wall fell.
I'm sure we can talk about World of Warplanes a lot more. If there's any little last tidbits you guys want to talk about before we move on?
Yeah, John, if I play with you, can you please not run into me?
No promises.
All right, I guess I'll have to deal with that.
Yep. You guys are on the same tree, at least.
All right, guys, so what we've been playing, and we're going to get through this and finish up the show tonight. We've got a long show because of the interview, World of Warplanes. We're all excited. Expect to hear more about World of Warplanes in the coming weeks from us. Because I'm sure we're all going to be playing it often, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we're reviewing it again as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then their excuse to play it some more. It's exactly
we're
why.
We're going to review this every week for the next 12 months.
So this week we gave it an 8.1 because... So anyway, guys, besides World of Warplanes and my addiction to that, I've played a lot of Black Ops 2. Did a lot of online and playing with friends and doing a lot of death matches, and that game still is a blast. I can't afford any of the DLC, but just playing the regular maps has been so fun. And I did a couple of free-for-alls and I actually got second and third place, and I was proud of myself.
Congrats.
And then on Monday night, my brother Dan does his live stream, and he wanted to do multiplayer zombies. And by the way, Yvarwin picked up Black Ops 2, and he started playing with us, and that was a blast.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I enjoyed it.
Now, is he a good kill? Just so I know if I should make friends with him, because I need to get my KD up.
Yeah, he's good to kill.
Yeah, you're good.
He's actually good. He was getting visibly better as the matches progressed. I mean, he averaged near last place most every time, but he was doing really good. He gunned me down a couple times.
He did great on Nuketown, actually.
Yeah, he did. He did really good. He got second place, I believe.
Yep.
So he's a close quarters kind of guy. So just stay back and I'll be good.
Right.
Yeah.
So we did multiplayer zombies. The first time ever playing multiplayer zombies on Black Ops 2. And I got to say, it was a freaking blast. I didn't want it to end. Weren't you with us, John?
Yeah. It was awesome. I was horrible, but it was great.
I went, what do I call it, Rambo at one point. Got myself a heavy machine gun from the random chest, and I got the double health. And was just picturing myself with a red bandana on, no shirt on, just going crazy.
Oh, yeah, that was on that weird game mode.
Yeah.
It was by the barn.
Yeah.
You were holding them back. It was hilarious.
I was taking on entire waves. It was going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, you were trying to get to a Varwin because he was down.
Yeah. And I went up somewhere like 150-something kills. Everyone else was like around 20 or 30.
Those MGs are like a beast.
It was so much fun. And I've been playing Metro Last Light on my Wednesday night Let's Play stream, which I do every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork, right before we record this show. And I gotta say, guys, Metro, that game is a story megalith. It's a story giant. That's all that game is about the story. And it does so good at drawing you in to the story. The gameplay is your average first-person shooter. It really is. Nothing terribly special. But the story and the graphical environment and the attention to detail, from the blood splatter on your visor to having to wipe it off to everything, is just creepy, and that game is drawing me in. So I normally do like 4-week Let's Plays, and then I go to a new game. This one I'm not going to stop until I finish this game on my live stream, and I only play it on Wednesday nights.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I caught it earlier today before the show, and man, you were at that one part where those things, it was a pretty intense fight when I popped into
those dog light guys in the subway area waiting for that guy from the boat to come in.
Yeah.
And then those shrimp, what the hell?
Yeah, right. But all I was like, it's like, I want some peel and eat shrimp right now. I am so hungry.
When I got off the boat though, and that lady was sitting there skinning that so-called in quotes here shrimp, it was nasty.
Yeah. It was.
Made my tumbly all grumbly.
You would, Aaron. Oh, hold on. I got something for that.
No.
There we go. Or.
Yes.
Squishy, squishy, squishy.
That one I like.
So, Aaron, what have you been up to, man?
Well, I don't know if this was like intentional or like subconscious, but I went and played a lot of sandboxy games, but they were all older games. I played Crackdown on the Xbox. All these games are on the Xbox 360, by the way, this week. Crackdown, which was a big... I don't know if anyone here has ever played it, but this game predates Halo 3, I think. You play a superhero kind of cop guy, and you try to upgrade your abilities, like your ability to jump really high, or how hard you hit, or your proficiencies with weapons and driving. And I was just sandboxing it, just running across buildings and like punching people like 500 feet away, you know, like knocking them 500 feet away, or I'd be on like a freeway with a rifle and I'd shoot their tires as they're driving by really fast and then make them turn and then flip through the air. So that was probably my best. I literally spent an hour on a freeway just making people's cars flip through the air, and then behind me there's just this giant mountain of wrecked cars. But yeah, so that was me playing Crackdown, And then I played another game called Prototype, which is a bit more recent. It's more recent, and you play a... I don't even know how to describe him, but...
I've heard of it. Infected. Never play it, though.
You've heard of it, right?
Yeah.
It's about a guy who's infected by a virus, and he gains superpowers, and...
Well, that's the original plot line.
Well, it's a weird biological infection, and you're trying to stop it from taking over Manhattan. You're literally playing on the entirety of, like, Manhattan Island. And, like, I just love it because I can jump from building to building, landmark to landmark. You unlock this glide ability, and you're pretty much playing against two factions, the infected, people and monsters that you're trying to destroy, and also a military that's also trying to destroy you in the infection. So it's kind of a two-way battle. And it's really fun at first because you can pick up a car and then run through like a big old crowd of like people or enemies or whatever, and they just start ragdolling all around you. So, I mean, it's not realistic in the least bit, but it's freaking fun. And then I was playing GTA 4, which I don't understand why I have to play pool as a mission because I suck at pool. I'm playing pool and I'm just trying to like knock it in, and I suck at this game. Did they put Yahoo Pool into GTA 4? What's going on here?
You notice in GTA 4 they had bowling and pool, and in 5 they have golf and tennis.
Yeah, what is with these? I'm not here to play games. I'm here to put in cheat codes, fly a helicopter, and shoot things.
You cheater.
I'm not here to play
You're
tennis.
A cheater, man. You stink.
Such a cheater.
Hey, GTA, it's what I'm supposed to do. And then I was dating this I was going on a date with this one chick, and she was so rude to me, so I like drove really fast, and like I hit a light post, and like we both flew out of the window. And she didn't take me on a second date, so there's
normally,
that.
When you have a bad date, you just take her home and not
rude,
give you
right?
Not,
she didn't
not call her
like
back.
I gave her my number, but whatever.
I know, you were very romantic. I can't believe that.
Yeah, flying lessons and everything.
I know.
Yeah.
She's so unappreciated.
It's almost like she was Supa.
Wait, what?
Only she didn't run into you.
Yeah, right. But yeah, that's pretty much my week. It's just I realize when I play sandbox games, I just am all about mass destruction. So maybe I should stay away from those.
Yeah, maybe you should. Let's take us some World of Warplanes and some Black Ops, all right?
Yeah.
That's controlled destruction.
Okay. Exactly.
What about you, Will?
All right. So I continued on the Splinter Cell Blacklist for a while. Actually, until World of Warplanes completed being downloaded. I got a little bit of time in, probably an hour or two into Splinter Cell Blacklist. Still really liking that game. It gets more intense the further you get into it. I'm still mainly Ghost with a little bit of Panther and a very, very little of the third one that I, right now the name is just escaping me.
Assault.
There we go. And so, needless to say, I am sneaking around and trying to kill everybody silently. But sometimes they're just in the way, so I shoot them.
Will, how dare you?
I just need to do that because I want to get past the levels. And I still haven't figured out how to silently kill the dogs. I don't know if you got a tip there, but that's been poison meat.
You silently kill them?
Yeah, well, okay. Put them to sleep.
You can knock them out.
Yeah, I just shoot them.
And if you
they're usually
barking enough,
by
if
the
you
time
sneak
I
up
find
on
them,
you can kick them and that kills them. I don't know why.
Usually my first instinct is just to shoot them too. So.
Yeah, it's just easier to shoot them. And then, the other thing that I noticed, so I kind of downloaded it really quick, was I was kind of just roaming around in YouTube, and I spotted a PvP map for Marvel Heroes that looked like a MOBA. And so I had to download it. It wasn't live. I downloaded the test center section that they have. It also wasn't live. So I'm not too sure if it was just YouTube nonsense that somebody said this would be really cool, or if somebody was listening to me last week when I was talking about it. It was posted about a day or two after the show, but it was basically almost exactly what I was looking for, which was a MOBA with an action RPG interface. Looked good. It was single lane, so similar to Solstice Arena on iOS, but really... kind of energetic, more energetic than what the experiences that I've had with some of the MOBAs lately. And that was about it. Just
awesome.
Way too much World of War planes. My wife hates that game more than anything.
I'm going to be tier 10 by the end of next week.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
I want that jet. This is the main reason I went down that path was that's the fastest jet in the game.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I haven't seen many tier 10 people in the queue yet. So I'm a little concerned if we get up there. Well,
that's the thing.
We're going to be the badasses. And
it's kind of confusing about the queues. I was talking to John about this. It's like we saw 60 people in the queue, and there's got to be thousands of people playing this.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if it queues you by your ping or what.
Kind of like an instance queue sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wonder with how many people are actually in the game for those little short time periods, it's probably a very fluid queue.
No, yeah, I mean, I never have any wait time, so it kind of confused me a little bit, that's all.
Yeah, it was fun. Anyways, that was more World of War planes, and
yeah.
We get sidetracked back onto that game, so
it's
maybe I
happen.
Should stop talking about my week in game.
John, what have you been up to, man?
Well, we talked about World of War planes, obviously. Had a blast with you guys there.
World of War planes!
Had a blast with you on Black Ops, you and Avarwin and Boone.
Yeah,
and a bunch of the guys from the community, Shadow and Baconborn, thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Had a blast. I played a little GTA 5 online. I don't know. I hope to play with Shank and Brian someday on PSN.
I'm on there,
might have
too.
A better experience there. Oh, yeah, and you. And
I see how it is.
No, my bad. I don't like Trevor in the single-player portion at all.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
No, but I kind of enjoy Michael and Franklin's stuff, so I don't know, it hasn't gotten too bad for me. But I don't know, can't really cast judgment, haven't played enough of GTA 5 yet. Played a little Battlefield 4 beta. There's issues with the server, definitely still. I'm having lag spikes when the action's getting good.
I've seen...
I know it's not graphics, though.
Around the forums, around the net, there's so much hate going around Battlefield 4 right now.
Yeah, about the servers, yeah.
Servers not being able to log into the game, period. So many crashes, so many issues. It's not even funny.
What I did get to play, though, I did enjoy. It's only one map, but you do get to kind of change it up with the destruction. You get to take down a control point that's normally on top of a skyscraper and is easy to defend. You get to knock it down and then put it on ground level, and now all of a sudden it's not as easy to defend. So that's pretty cool how it changes up the strategy involved.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Guardians of Middle-Earth. I love Lord of the Rings. Brian gave me some code for the Guardian pack, so I've been playing with that and trying to get my handle on MOBAs. It's not bad. I'm getting better, but a little more co-op, and then I'll jump online and see how I do.
Yeah, we all need to get more MOBA time. I think we need to do like a review of a MOBA game. We're going to be doing a Strife review when that eventually gets around closer to when we can review it. So I think that'll help us get more involved with the MOBA scene. Yeah, what else you got, man? Anything else?
No, I mean, that's really it. I've been having a blast gaming with everyone around the network, so by all means, guys, yeah. Be sure to hit us up on Skype and Mumble and join us.
All right, we're not going to do any action news or any helps and tips because we had a long show today. The interview was like 40 minutes and then everything else, so we're going to just wrap up the show here. That's why we kind of went through our play and game a little bit quicker this week. But fear not, we'll be back next week to talk more about this awesome stuff of Adrenaline Esports, which is everything action gaming and esports. Woo-hoo. So our final thoughts. I want to again thank Margaret so much for joining us. I can't wait to have her on a full show with us. I am going to be bugging her again, and I'm eventually going to get into Planet Side 2 again, but I'm definitely playing more Black Ops 2 and World of War Planes this week, for sure. Aaron?
Well, I hope that when Margaret comes on next, everything will be fine. You know, everything seems to be going good right now. Definitely going to probably be hopping in some World of War Planes tonight while I'm downloading Planet Side 2, because if you're getting back into it, I need to re-put it back on my PC, and we need to find an outfit so we can go kill stuff together, dude.
Totally. Will?
All right, I'm sitting here hoping that World of War Planes puts together a guild so that we can get an AES podcast guild going in that, because I had so much fun playing with everybody that I just want a complete squadron, you know, multiple flights going where we're all on the same team, filling out the entire roster with us and our friends. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, and that would be awesome.
Honestly, I saw a spot next to when you was it community or whatever for the people? There's a, when you open that up to like invite somebody, there's something right next to it, like create a group or something like that.
Yeah, that I tried that. It actually puts you in a group of friends, so it's like, so you can organize your friends by some, you know, kind of like a folder for friends.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Hopefully they do come up with something. I have to agree with you on that. John.
I wanted to thank Margaret for coming on the show again and doing the interview with you and being in the chat room. It's awesome to see how engaged she is and available she is for her community. Really something to aspire to. So I wanted to thank her and can't wait to see her on the show again. And can't wait to get in game with you guys. So that's all I got.
And our community segment, Mr. Aaron.
Well, you can our show site is AESpodcast.com. Our main portal site, would you call it, is QuestGamingNetwork.com. You can access all of our shows from there. You can stay connected to all the latest news from Xbox, PlayStation, Rift, and Elder Scrolls there. And you can donate to our show, and $10 gets you a special mention if you prefer it.
If you want to shout out your squad, your guild, your clan, whatever, that's how you do it.
Your favorite type of airplane in World of Warplanes. Go for it. you can follow our other shows. Rift Off the Record records live every Sunday at 7 p.m. Dungeon Quest records every other Monday at 6:30 p.m. live. It goes live at 6:30, starts recording at 7. The next episode records the 14th of October. Am I right there, Joe?
You're directly correct.
Awesome. Elder Scrolls Off the Record records live every Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can email our show at aespodcast@gmail.com, and you can check out all our gaming videos, how-to guides, and recorded Twitch streams at youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. And we also, you know, speaking of our Twitch streams, re-record every day. We have 7 days a week on our Twitch channel, and our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. You can follow us on Twitter. Adrenaline Esports is at AES Podcast. Joe, you know, if he's not getting run over by Supa in World of Warplanes, he'll be on Twitter at The Widget. That's WIGIT. No D. If you put a D in there, it's not him. He's just, don't do it, okay?
Bad.
Don't. I am at Makardia. That's MAKARDIA. Will. He's at Sovereign. SOVRUN. And John is at JSupa508. If you guys want to shout out your stream, Steam, PSN, Xbox Live, now it's time to do it. But I'll go first since I'm talking already. You can find me on Xbox Live at Makardia. That's also MAKARDIA. And it's the same on Steam. Joe.
I'm the Widget. All one word. THEWIGIT. That's on Steam. That's on World of Warplanes and pretty much everything I play except for PlayStation Network, where I go by Kimpo401.
Oh, also, I'm also on World of Warplanes at Makardia also. Sorry, I forgot about that game. How could I do that? We had an entire show dedicated to it. All right, Will, go.
All right, and this is Will, and I am at Sovereign on both Steam, World of Warplanes, and just about everywhere. Raptor, any of those things, you'll find me there at Sovereign. The one that I couldn't get was, unfortunately, PSN. So there I am, Dead Sovereign, but don't hit me up yet. I haven't actually had time to get on the PS3 since I got my PSN.
Also, he was not able to get Sovereign on Neopets, so you won't be able to find him there. John, go ahead!
on Steam, I'm at JSupa508, I believe. And on World of Warplanes, I'm Supa508. So add me there and see you guys in game.
I thought you were QG and _ Supa.
No, that's what
Guess. Sorry, I don't know what I am. You guys should have done that for me.
He is a great guy.
Adrenaline Esports is a Quest Gaming Network production in association with Middle Earth Network. Keep on shooting everything in sight, guys, and learn how to fly.
Don't hit me, John! Oh my god. That's awesome.
I'm gonna murder you all.
Quest Gaming Network. Great people, great podcasts, a better network.